box, office, refund, box office refund podcast.
In this episode, I'm going to tell you about the movies I saw in 2018. And this is not what came out in 2018. This is what I saw that I'd categorize as the worst and the best. I'm going to start with the worst because this podcast is about the worst movies. And I'm going to tell you about the best just because if you're like me, maybe you need a glimmer of hope that there are still good movies out there that you should see. Now, I rate every movie I see on a scale of 1 to 10. Typically, most movies fall between 3 and 9. If a movie hits a 3, that is automatically included in my bottom. So in 2018, I saw 7 movies that ranked as a 3. In 2018, I saw 14 movies that I'd rank as a 9. I have given out 1 10 once. I believe that was for The Godfather. And 3, I don't know. The most time I would not watch a movie that would get below a 3. To do that, that'd have to be some kind of YouTube movie that's just garbage all the way around. Typically don't watch that kind of stuff. So let's start with the worst of 2018. The first would be The Open House, where a teenager and his mother find themselves besieged by threatening forces when they move into a new house. It's a complete waste of time. The movie just stops without a conclusion. We get no answers, and that's after having watched the characters make incredibly dumb decisions continuously. It's a movie that will make you mad at just how bad it is. And you're likely to double-check, like me, to make sure there really isn't a final scene. This ended, and I thought, oh, wait, did I click something? Did I skip over the final scene? Do yourself a favor. Don't even start this, because the movie doesn't even finish. The Snowman from 2017. Detective Harry Hole, yes, that's H-O-L-E, Harry Hole investigates the disappearance of a victim on the first snow of winter. Fearing an elusive serial killer may be active again, decades-old cold cases, haha, cold snowman, so funny, may be the key to stopping the killer. This leaves it open for a sequel, but this was a muddled mess. Cliche-ridden, nearly incomprehensible. Things happen, but you never even have a remote impulse to care. This is surprisingly bad. Based on the talent involved. I mean, it's got Michael Fassbender, Rebecca Ferguson. Why is this so bad? I don't even know. And I believe the director said something like they didn't even film over half of the script. I don't even know. They didn't film half the script. The movie is garbage. Game Over Man from 2018, Netflix original. It is an action comedy inspired by Die Hard, and it features three friends on the verge of getting their video game financed from their benefactors taken hostage by terrorists. This is gross and crude. It's shock humor lacking any real humor. I don't like that kind of stuff. The concept is a great idea, but it just can't stop being crude long enough to actually be funny. It's just too much. And it's not even funny, it's just gross. A movie that thinks showing me a dick is a solid joke is a great idea is not the kind of movie I want to see. It's just filled with garbage. And you begin to wonder, should you turn it off? If you even begin wondering that, turn it off. It would save you up to an hour and a half. How It Ends, which that title is funny, since the ending of this show, or rather movie, is garbage. A mysterious apocalyptic event centers on a young father who will stop at nothing to get home to his pregnant wife on the other side of the country. This is a very by-the-numbers start. You've got the parents who don't like the daughter's boyfriend, they're against him, there's a cataclysmic event that happens, and it throws the boyfriend and the girl's father together. They don't like each other, but they're stuck together. And this, it's like a lesser version of The Road. I don't know, it's just everything in this is just too easy. It's like, oh, how do we get from point A to point B? Let's pick the easiest way possible. And they pretty much get out of everything. Do we ever find out what happened? Who knows? People weaponed up awfully quick. And I don't know. I mean, it just seems like a fruitless pursuit that, like, this guy's even going to find his girlfriend. They run into bad dudes. They run away. Not much happens. He catches up with the girlfriend finally. And it's as unlikely as that is, there's another dude with her in the cabin. And at first I wondered, oh, is this going to be a love triangle? Is this going to, you know, has more time passed than I thought? Is this going to do something with it? But no, the dude in the cabin is just crazy. What has this movie become? I don't know. The ending is pure garbage. I didn't like the movie, but the ending, like, I mean, this movie, didn't like it at all. But the ending made me outright hate it. Lack of an ending. Stupid. Garbage. Hey, the week of, we actually reviewed this on the podcast. And if you think every movie review on a podcast ends up on this list, not true. So the week of, it's about two very different fathers who come together for their children's wedding, and lots of things go wrong. The plotline says hilarious hijinks ensure, but I would dispute the hilarity of it. This is not good. This is the odd couple, crazy wedding movie, and you know, there's just no story. You've got the soon-to-be-married couple, and they're just set pieces as the movie focuses on the attempted comedy, which makes the heart-to-heart conversation thrown in at the end. It waits all the way to the end to have any kind of heartfelt, anything heartfelt. It just makes it jarring. Adam Sandler stammers for 2 hours. Chris Rock, he just kind of stumbles through the movie, hoping he'll end soon. And sometimes this, the screen is filled with a lot of people, and even still, it's just a void. Frequently, there's an attempt at a joke. I just don't think anyone wanted to be in this movie. No one. I don't think anybody in the cast wanted to be here. And after the 1 hour mark, which I thought and hoped was near the end, my disdain began growing every second. I just was wishing it would end. LOL, all the way back from 2012. Another one is on the podcast. Lola's heart is broken by her boyfriend, but soon she's surprised by her best friend, promising musician Kyle, who reveals his feelings for her. Not only can I barely get through the plot line, I could barely get through the movie. I don't even know what this movie is. It uses all the usual teen movie cliches while simultaneously sexualizing teens and criticizing them for being sexual. Why are you trying to have it both ways? It relates to teens about in the same way that Steve Buscemi does as an undercover officer at a high school, which is not great. The dialogue in this movie is garbage. It's the story shallow gibberish. There's just no single redeemable quality in the movie. It is a complete and utter waste of time. And for another movie that was on the podcast, and I just want you to know, we reviewed 16 movies on the podcast this year. Only 3 of those movies made it onto my worst of list. Batman and Robin from 1997. Batman and Robin try to keep their relationship together and try to stop Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy from freezing Gotham City. It's amazing just how bad this movie is. Lack of story, plot, character development, acting, directing, writing, and more. In every way this movie could be deficient, it is, except for not necessarily production, like the actual designs are not good, but the money that went into the production designs, like you can tell there's a lot of money there. It was just poorly used. This is aggressively bad, and it seems like that had to be the goal. The dialogue is pretty much just puns and quips, one-liners, throughout the movie. There's no reason to care about these characters. And maybe, worst of all, this movie's just too long. I knew I was in trouble when we got consecutive shots of both Batman and Robin's rubber-clad rear ends. An image that fills the entire screen, and that is just 30 seconds into the movie. The last quarter of this movie was so boring, I was hoping for disc error just to stop the suffering. Oh my gosh, one of the most boring movies I've ever watched. And that rounds out my worst list. Now let's get to something a little more fun. My top list. The top 14 movies of 2018. First up would be the 2017 film Dunkirk. Allied soldiers from Belgium, the British Empire, and France are surrounded by the German army, evacuating during a fierce battle in World War II. This is a Christopher Nolan film. I like Christopher Nolan films. This is an incredible work that is more than a movie. It's an experience. I know that's a bit of hyperbole, but you know what? It's true. Intertwining stories capture the emotions of war. There's a young man desperate to escape, the fighter pilot that is bound by duty above his own safety, and a civilian drafted to service with wavering confidence. It is an immersive experience, a beautiful movie, and it's so dense, you don't just need to watch it again. You want to immediately. And that hardly ever happens to me where the movie ends. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to skip to the beginning and watch this all over again. This movie, I started doing that. It is a very good movie. The Killing of a Sacred Deer. This is a Yorgos Lanthimos film, and he makes movies that are kind of off the wall in a way. After a cardiac surgeon's family mysteriously begin to fall ill, a teenage boy he has secretly befriended with a connection to the surgeon's past informs him there's only one way to heal his family. This is a very well-made movie. It is a great example of fantastic directing. Every scene is steeped in tension, and while the story is strange, it's an exploration of consequences and grief. There's a supernatural element to this, and it's employed to create emotional turmoil. I mean, that's just what this is after. It's not necessarily like, oh, let's make this realistic. Let's explore grief. Let's explore anguish and how people change. And, you know, let's take this to a fantastical result to explore that more fully. Characters are nuanced, and the story unfolds through action, not exposition. Very well written, and the directing really is marvelous. I mean, it's, I don't know, man. Best directed movie I probably saw this year. Shortcuts, all the way from 1993. This is a Robert Altman movie. A variety of characters, including a baker, a phone sex provider, and a clown, their stale lives intersect and are forever altered through simple twists of fate. What really amazes me about this movie is how quickly you connect with these characters. They're well written, they're fully developed, flaws and all. And as the movie progresses, we begin to see the connections between them, like how all these little stories begin to intersect. they're all connected in one way or another. And we begin to see how the events in one person's life affects the other. Cool movie. Great characters. Call Me By Your Name. In 1980s Italy, a romance blossoms between a 17-year-old student and the American scholar hired as the student's father's research assistant. Man, this is just a really wonderful movie centered on a relationship that means two very different things for the people in it. For one of them, it's a fling. For the other, it's first love. And it is. It's a forbidden romance that is short-lived, but it provides a connection for the viewer. We've puzzled through admiration, infatuation, and wild teenage emotions. And this is thorough and well-plotted examinations of all those emotions. It's a cool romance movie. A Quiet Place, 2018, written and directed by John Krasinski. A family is forced to live in silence while hiding from creatures that hunt by sound. The sparse dialogue is the hook, but it is not a gimmick. This movie delivers. The pacing is quick, with information revealed through facial expressions and sign language. The actors really do a great job because they're having to act. They can't just rely on dialogue. They've got to act it out, and they do it. Sound mix is incredible, and it takes on a heightened importance because we're relying on that for much of the movie. This does follow a three-act structure, and the last act is absolutely intense. This is the type of movie where you forget to breathe as you are so wrapped up in what's happening. Intense, quick, incredible. Frost Nixon from 2008, a dramatic retelling of the post-Watergate television interviews between British talk show host David Frost and former President Richard Nixon. This is a battle of words, and it is fascinating. Both men have something to gain in this interview, but to accomplish it, they must defeat the other solely through words. This captures the feel of the time and derives a surprising amount of tension out of just an interview, which you wouldn't think is even possible, but they do it. Ron Howard directed this. While Frost is sure the truth is going to come out, Nixon's intimidation attempts and mind games cause doubt in Frost's mind. Cool movie. Hot Fuzz from 2007. I'd argue one of the greatest comedies ever. I absolutely love this movie. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Edgar Wright. Great trio. A skilled London police officer is assigned to a small town that's harboring a dark secret. Love this comedy. It's clever, witty, just fun. It's got that British style of humor to it. Subtle, multi-layered, and it's just endlessly quotable. I could quote this movie for days. And it's a spoof of the action movies. It pokes fun at the usual tropes before completely embracing many of those same tropes. The detail is incredible, and almost all the jokes have a payoff when they're made and then later in the movie. If you haven't seen this, you absolutely have to, for the greater good. Remains of the Day, and this is from 1993, starring Anthony Hopkins and Emma Thompson. A butler who sacrificed body and soul in the name of service leading up to World War II realizes too late that loyalty to his employer was misguided. Man, this is an impressive movie. Incredible, incredible script. Superbly acted and a story boasting depth and emotion. The setting is always impeccable. It is a period piece. But man, these characters, they stick with you. You can read into them just by how they act, by their mannerisms, because it is incredibly well acted. It's a tragic romance where the two characters never get together. And I like that. You know, I'm not a big fan of romance movies, but I like this style of romance. The movie leaves you plenty of room to delve into their minds, the characters, and wonder, why not? While also considering, what if? It's an absolutely amazing film, and it will leave a mark. The Man Who Wasn't There, 2001, Coen Brothers movie, because I'm a big fan of the Coens. It's black and white, film noir, set in 1949, where a laconic chain-smoking barber, played by Billy Bob Thornton, blackmails his wife's boss and lover for money to invest in dry cleaning. His plan goes terribly wrong, as Coen Brothers movies characters usually do. This is a genre film. It's a genre from the past, but man, it's really well done. All these actors are spot on, and this twisting story really makes it. This feels a lot like a typical Coen Brothers movie, and that's a good thing. The way the story wraps up is really neat. The main character is definitely punished for his crime, but that is anything but straightforward, with his original crime creating a ripple that affects everyone around him. United 93 from 2006. On September 11th, 2001, terrorists seize control of the United Airlines Flight 93 and three other planes, as realizations of the imminent horror dawn on the passengers, crew, and loved ones on the ground. The courageous acts by those held hostage there count down in actual time. Now, I don't know how accurate this movie is, but it does feel very authentic. This switches between what's happening in the sky and on the ground at different airports, and there are no lulls in this. This is intense all the way through. And knowing what happens does not diminish this at all. Absolutely incredible. The very idea such a thing could happen was absurd at the time. Knowing you had to react, and this captures that confusion and range of emotions perfectly. The Shining, 1980. Stanley Kubrick, my favorite director. A family heads to an isolated hotel for the winter where an evil spiritual presence influences the father into violence, while his psychic son sees horrific forebodings from the past and of the future. Man, this movie, really good. It plays with mood. There's just so much detail because it's a Kubrick film, and that man was obsessed with detail. You know, from the colors to the sound mix. Is it the hotel? Is it cabin fever? Was Jack just deranged from the start? Can we even trust anything we see? The images on screen look great, from the gliding Steadicam shots, or revolutionary at the time, to the composition of the hotel and its decor. The Shining is a movie you must watch. Birth, 2004, starring Nicole Kidman, directed by Jonathan Glazer. A young boy attempts to convince a woman that he is her dead husband reborn. This is a cool concept. The love of your life is reincarnated, which is great, except he's a 12-year-old boy. How much of that can you ignore? Are you going to violate social norms? It's just a great question that makes you think. This is a journey, and the movie is worth it for that alone. But the end is just awesome. This ends, and I'm puzzled for an answer, because I feel like the movie gave me something, and I just missed it. And what it tells me on the surface, I'm not buying it. But the pieces are there, and after this ended, I skimmed back through the movie, and I was able to put all the pieces together. And man, it just takes this movie to a whole nother level. I mean, it's good before, but that ending, once you figure it out, really cool. First Man, 2018, starring Ryan Gosling, directed by Damien Chazelle. A look at the life of astronaut Neil Armstrong and the legendary space mission that led him to become the first man to walk on the moon on July 20th, 1969. Absolutely incredible film. I like movies that are unique and are a bit condescending, and I mean that in a good way. This is both, in the sense that it's very introspective. It's unlike your typical movie. Armstrong is played as quiet, and it's not quiet except for his one-liner quips. You know, it's not like a Clint Eastwood character where, you know, he always has a little smart aleck thing to say. No, this guy's just very quiet. You know, he doesn't need the spotlight. And with that, Gosling does an amazing acting job. I felt what this movie wanted me to feel. The visuals are great. This has some really intense sequences. This is one man's journey from the Earth to the Moon. It's a difficult journey, and it's portrayed as very solemn. And it's not a fun movie, but it is very good. And rounding it out for my best movies of 2018, Sorry to Bother You, starring Lakeith Stanfield, directed and written by Boots Riley. In an alternate present-day version of Oakland, telemarketer Cassius Green discovers a magical key to professional success, propelling him into a universe of greed. This is wildly inventive, wildly original, and it keeps getting crazier, but it's also commenting on society, continuously exaggerating its point so much that you can almost like miss what this is trying to say and just think, oh, this is just some crazy movie. What a wild idea. But you know, this has some depth to it. You can read incredibly deep into this, every detail of this movie. You know, you just kind of wonder, well, how much should I read into this? Like, how far can you take it? You can almost take it very far. It is a crazy ride. It gets crazier. And when you realize every scene and every detail might indeed be a commentary, might be some kind of satire, man, there's just a lot of thought into this. And it's neat because this is a snapshot of current culture, but it's also expanding on universal and timeless conflict. You know, some of the directing is really cool. Some of the shots are really cool. Very artistic. It's just such a cool idea. Really like that movie. And that's it, man. That's what I got for you. Those are the best and the worst of 2018, at least what I saw in 2018. Let me know what you think. What did you like in 2018?
Box. Office. Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.